Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apologies, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all.
Last week in our study of 1 Timothy chapter 2, we were taught about the custom of lifting up of hands in the church service as making a vow unto God. Let's continue with that thought today.
And now, here is our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Now, the spirit is the seat of our reason, or our wisdom and knowledge, whereas the soul is the seat of our feelings and our emotions. We can think in our soul, but it is a thinking that figures out or reasons out things based on its feelings. And that's why men should walk in the spirit. Now, men here in this verse refers to male adults. The Greek word anthropos is often used in the Bible to mean mankind in general, which could be men or women or children. Sometimes anthropos is translated man. But here, anthropos is not used. Rather, the Greek word aneir, referring to a male adult. In context of the local church, the passage is telling men in every place, a congregation of the local church assemblies, that he would have men pray. All local church assemblies, he wants men to be men of prayer, and he says, lifting up holy hands. Now, some people do lift their hands in church for different reasons. Some, if a song blesses their heart, they lift their hand and they might yell, praise the Lord, or hallelujah, or amen, and that's great, brother. Others, if they agree with something the preacher says, they lift their hands and they'll say, yeah, hallelujah. But in the Bible, the Jewish custom was to raise the hands with the palm facing upward toward heaven to receive from God. Now, invariably, I'm asked if it's wrong in the church service like that, if somebody raises their hand when the preacher says something good or at the end of a song. The answer is no. But the problem is, most people have no idea what the lifting of the hand means. To give you an idea, an angel lifted up his hand toward heaven. In the book of Revelation, that was a vow to God. The people at the water gate in Nehemiah chapter 8, as Ezra read the law, lifted up their hands as a sign of a vow to agree with the word of God. Lifting up the hand or the hands is to say, you are making a commitment to whatever is being said. For example, the preacher's preaching. He says, you ought to be a witness to the lost souls every day. And you raise your hand, you say, amen, so be it. Well, you've just made a vow to God by the raising of your hand that you're going to witness to the lost every day. And you'll give an account in heaven as to why you did not keep that promise when you appear at the judgment seat of Christ. Understand, this custom that was back in the Bible days is still carried on today in the courts in America. We have people place their hand on a Bible, and they raise their right hand to make a solemn oath to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God. And they raise a hand. And that's following centuries of tradition. Now, it's important thing here, though, is holy hand. The word holy is added there meaning that in the public service, if a man is living and unseparated from the world, unseparated from false doctrine, life, and he has a bad testimony, then it's not good for him to be lifting his hand. It becomes an abomination to God. It's something that's abominable to the holiness of God. And that's a person who should not be offering public prayer. In addition to holy hands, it is to be without wrath. Now, this is the desire to get even with someone, even to hold a grudge, to disdain a particular brother in Christ. The other guy is in front of the crowd. He will have a critical spirit. He will listen to criticize, not for wisdom and knowledge. I was talking to someone that had listened to a preacher preach recently, and they were saying, and I was there, so I heard the same preacher, but they were criticizing to this person how that when the preacher was preaching, he mentioned the wrong reference. Although he read the right words, he gave the wrong reference. For an example, if it was John 3:16 that he was quoting, he may have said John 10:16, okay? But he had the right words, and it went with the message. And the message, I was there, and it was a very good sermon. And it would feed you if you listen. But he did that a couple of times in his message, and it was an older preacher. Now, the person listened to find fault with that and did not receive any blessing for the wisdom and the knowledge that was in the sermon. Now, look, if somebody comes up and gives false doctrine, and what they say is wrong from the vantage point doctrinally, morally, ethically, yes, that should be addressed. Address the preacher, and then address others that may have been influenced by that to keep them from going the wrong way. But don't do it as a gossip. Do it to teach truth. Without wrath is speaking of freedom from irritation and anger toward brethren in Christ. And by the way, when we have this wrath, we're unable to uplift holy hands because of our lives. These are things that hinder revival. And it's another reason why we are losing our young people. And without doubting, whereas wrath concerns our fellow man, doubting speaks about our confidence toward God. God wants us to be men of faith, not troublemakers, not those who are known for questioning the Word of God, or casting doubt upon it. That's not what God expects of us. So, we've seen what God says about men in the church, but let's see next what God says about women in the local church. Now, I just want to say this to the radio audience. I would rather some fine Christian woman right now to expound these verses to my sisters in Christ than to talk on this microphone and record for all of you that are my sisters in Christ. To do this as a man, as I speak concerning these things, but yet, as a pastor, this is my solemn duty. I'm God's messenger. I am to do this. Now, no matter how these scriptures are spurned by the worldly and backslidden crowd, they're just as truly a part of God's Word as is John 3:16. So, in teaching this, I'm not making any apology for it. Although, I'd rather a fine Christian woman expound this to other Christian women. But since this is where we are in the passage, and God would have me teach it, I'm going to teach it without apology. Now again, this is not politically correct, but it's going to be biblically right on it. It's going to be biblically right. Now first we see that God addresses their dress. Okay, their attire. Verse 9 says, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array. Now, in like manner, he says there, speaks of the holy requirement on men for prayer. As the men are required to pray, ladies, this is required for you. If you're going to be a right with God woman, a godly woman, you need to heed this. Now, if you don't, you won't be a good Christian woman. Now, others may consider you a good Christian woman, but this is not talking about what others think. It's talking about what God thinks. If you don't want to be a good Christian woman, don't pay any attention to these requirements, because they're holy requirements. It's what God expects. Now, let us look at some word meanings in this verse. Adorn. The word adorn is what in the Greek is called a present infinitive, meaning you do this and you keep on doing this. It's a continual thing. It's not just an event, a one-time thing. No, it's something that is to be a continual part. Continually adorn. The Greek word adorn is kosmeo. Our word cosmetic is derived from it. And, of course, we associate cosmetics more with women than we do men, although men will use some types of cosmetics, as for an example, cologne. Yet, adorn, we kind of also think of the women and the makeup they wear. And so, again, it is cosmeo, and it's a form of the word cosmos, an ordered system, an apt and harmonious arrangement and constitution. And that is referring to the idea of orderliness in God's creation. So the adornment of a Christian woman needs to be in order, not disorder of a holy woman. Now, let me just say this. In short, ladies, he's talking about how you dress. A woman who pretends to adorn herself in a godly way on Sunday, but then throughout the week in a way to be accepted by the worldly crowd, that lady is a total hypocrite. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No break. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no breaks. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.